All right, here we go. Episode 3. Talking about sex. And this is the big one. Like, this is when you see it come up in your iTunes and it says...
And we had the little inklings the last sessions, but this is the biggie.
It's been crumbs the last couple of sessions. We've been giving you tastes of this because this is the one they know is, you know, here, and they're going to send us their friends. Be like, I can't believe what Justin and Kristen are talking about.
I know.
Jim Burns. They're talking about pornography. They're talking about porn.
Yeah.
And they're going to, like, talk pretty openly about it because kids are talking openly about it.
And they're seeing it. It's all over.
Comedians are talking about it. I mean, comedians make it like it's a normal part of your life.
What I find to be funny is, I don't know, funny is the wrong word. I feel like it's so painful sometimes I have to laugh at it. But it isn't just one place anymore.
It's not.
Pornography is not just in a magazine. I remember I talked about the finding the magazine in the fields. It's not just the magazine anymore, right? And it's not just the internet. It's not just, you know, well, as long as you have your phone browser taken care of, you go on to Twitter, you search stuff, you can find videos, clip, you can find anything. Mm-hmm. Go to Instagram,
YouTube.
Can find the right stuff. You can go to Snapchat. You can, from your Xbox, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, it is
so
accessible.
Right.
So accessible. It's where do you even begin? How do you even begin with something that's so accessible and that in a lot of homes, maybe the homes of, you know, kids, friends, like, it's normal that it's like, oh, that's just dad's man cave with some Playboys there. Mm-hmm. How do you even begin?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you're right. The greatest distributor of internet pornography today is we all have it out in front of us. It's a cell phone. That happened in 2011. So it's really not been that long. So as parents, we can't turn our heads and think that maybe our kids are going to be untouched. Every kid is going to probably see pornography. In fact, we have this thing we do at Homeward where we talk about the purity code. And I was in West Monroe, Louisiana, and it's a mega church bigger than Mariners. And so I had come in and spoke Friday night to kids and parents, and then I spoke all day the next day to parents, and somebody else, youth evangelist from South Carolina, spoke to kids. And then I was going to do the preaching. And I said to him, he was in the green room, and I said, hey, how did it go when you had the porn talk? And he goes, oh, my gosh. He goes, I'm so freaked out by this. I spoke to junior high and high school boys, and I said, how many of you have not seen pornography? And it was zero. They had all seen pornography, it said. Oh. So I don't know that that's always the case with every kid. We said in a previous program that it was, age 11 is when they see it. But, yeah, it's prevalent. It's out there. And so parents have to talk about it. You know, my parents never talked to me about sex, so they definitely didn't talk to me about porn. But the truth was it wasn't as prevalent. Was it there? Sure. I mean, it was there. It was Playboy magazine, things like that. But today, it's so much more accessible. But the mistake we sometimes make is we only talk about porn instead of talking about healthy sexuality. So say somebody is viewing porn. Just in a previous program, you talked about getting caught by your mom.
Yeah.
So she, by the way, did the A+ thing. But it's a natural time then to talk about the healthy view. So it's just the opposite of what some people would think. Instead of totally freaking out, say, hey, since you saw this, let's talk about, the purity code. In honor of God, my family, my future spouse, I commit to sexual purity. And we're going to do it by honoring all scripture, honoring God with our body, renewing our mind for good. By the way, that's the most powerful sex organ in your body is your mind, not your private parts.
Yeah.
Turning your eyes from worthless things. How do we as parents be so proactive and intentional that we teach our kids to turn their eyes from worthless things? And that not only means turning your eyes from worthless things like porn, but teaching the young women that guys look at skin. Per se, okay? And so teaching, young girls who are really, my kids sometimes dress with some things and I go, oh my gosh. I mean, they're beach kids.
Yeah.
They weren't dressing for boys. They were dressing what was cute for girls. But it was my responsibility as a dad to help them understand that, guys, look at skin. And I wanted my kids to have turtlenecks, at their chin on down to their ankles. That was not going to happen in my family, I'll tell you that much. And it's not going to happen in the world.
Yeah.
But again, it's important for us to do that. And then I mentioned the scripture, guard your heart. Well, those are the kinds of things we teach really to help enhance the positive side to sexuality when you're dealing with the, with the issue of porn.
So let me play the other side. Okay, I'll play the, what's it called? The
devil's
advocate. Yeah, the devil's advocate. I'm listening
to this.
You're
wearing a New York Yankees hat right now. That's double enough.
Oh my gosh. The Yankees are champions. They know how to win. I'm from New York. You know, I'm from Manhattan. I'm not some bandwagon.
You have an accent. I went to Princeton, so I was in New Jersey all last week, and you know, they talk like you talk.
I love
even
it.
In Jersey.
I love those
Joy-Z.
People. I love those people. All right, so devil's advocate. Jim, you're crazy. Listen to this. Jim, you're crazy. You know, I can't even tell my kids I've done the Christmas shopping because they're going to be hunting around the house looking for it. Their curiosity is ridiculous.
Yeah.
If I tell my kids that there's something called porn out there, they're going to immediately, the conversation's over, immediately they're just going to go start searching. Like, I should hold back as long as I can because my kids are just too curious for their own good. What do you say?
Well, first of all, if your kid is over 11, they've probably seen porn already, and it could be younger. But you know, and it was an accidental. It was a pop-up. It was something that so they've seen it. Their
it was
friends
a friend at school. It was
whatever it is. So don't, as a parent, be naive that your kids have not seen it. Even the incredible, you know, kids. Now there are kids obviously who are 13 have never seen porn or don't even know what porn is. There's no studies that show that if you talk about a negative subject, that they're going to rush out and do it. And so, again, I think you can have that conversation, but I would spend more time talking about the positive side because then you're building that foundation that will cause them, you know, to be motivated not to do it. At the same time, parents have to understand something, that porn is incredibly addictive, more addictive than crack cocaine.
Yeah.
And so what happens is somebody, I'm going to go through kind of five quick things on this, but they view porn. What happens is their mind takes a picture. But there's a stimulation package in your brain. Let me be nerd for just a minute.
Please.
And I just wrote this. I have a book coming out called Understanding Your Teen, and so I got all nerdy on the brain thing for a minute. But there's a stimulation package that when a guy especially views porn, I'll get to girls in a minute because it's even potentially scarier what girls are doing right now. But when it comes to the stimulation package, you know, that they take a picture, but it also, you know, gives them a high, more or less, say. Well, and with girls, here's the interesting side with girls. It's not just girls aren't as visual. Okay, they're like, oh, great, these are naked people.
Right.
Guys like that. Girls.
Well, that's not. I mean, my wife, that she's not that way. She looks at me, and it's just like game. I mean, is that not? Maybe that's all.
Well, it's
my
because
head.
You have really cool tattoos.
Is that what it is?
Yeah,
I've always thought that my wife
tattoos.
Just looked at me and was like, you know, my wife that she and I was just
she's
like,
she's great.
Yeah.
Is
yeah.
that? Maybe that's all in my head then.
I think somebody might say dream on, but
oh,
that's
boy,
another
here
story.
We go.
But with girls, you know, I think women actually do a better job with relationships by and large. I wrote a book called Creating an Intimate Marriage. Guys think it's on sex, women think it's on connection. It's on connection. But I mean, there's a chapter on sex, but it's still about connection. So what happens is girls will be, you know, their name is, you know, I'm Lindsay, but now I'm going to be Stephanie. I'm going to create a new Gmail account. And so they practice having conversations about sexuality with somebody, with another guy, and say, you know, I'd let you do this to me and blah, 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 because they think it's safe or whatever. But what they're doing is that same thing that maybe stimulated a guy to see a naked picture online, the girls are getting stimulated that way, and it's actually almost a deeper thing. So what happens is phase two, view pornography or connect, and then two is addiction. I mean, it's oversimplification, but addiction just simply means I want more. And then what happens is it escalates. So, you know, at first you're feeling shame, but now you've, you know, seen a bunch of this, so you feel shame. Then you move to being desensitized. So what was gross a year ago isn't gross anymore. What was gross 2 weeks ago isn't gross anymore.
Yeah.
So you get desensitized. Then you begin to act it out. First of all, you act it out in your mind. And then you actually, after you get tired of acting it out in your mind, that would be called lust or worse. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, they say, well, I want to do that, what I saw. And pornography is just totally false intimacy. It doesn't work. It's false. So again, why parents need to know that is because when they talk about the positive side, that's what they're helping their kids. If parents just go, oh, just don't look at those dirty pictures, that's not the issue. The issue is pornography escalates and it becomes addictive, incredibly addictive. And then it changes relationships. I mean, what we see at Homeward, because we're doing stuff on marriage all the time, is men more than women, but men who are addicted to porn can't have good physical relationships with their spouse because they're, you know, their head's all screwed up.
Oh man, you know I've talked to parents. They come in. We do a thing called Coffee with the Junior High Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've been there for this. It's been, parents come in, they will come in with any question, any, you know, deal.
Or situation.
Yeah, any situation. And so I have parents come in and they'll say, hey, my kid, I caught my kid looking at it. They have this phone or they have this deal and I've caught them looking at it. You know, what do you think I should say? Do I need to send them away to a thing? You know, how do I address this? And then, you know, what boundaries do I need to put around this? What should I do? Should I take away their phone forever? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes it feels like there's an overreaction when it's something that's so new, like, you know, my kid's doing this, what do I do? And they feel like they're the only parent. Right. And then there's like the parent shame of they don't want to tell people about this. So they're kind of whispering. We do this in the cafe, even the cafe at Mariners. And they kind of come in close like, hey, you know, I don't want to tell you. Like they're looking at porn. They whisper it. They don't want anyone else to hear. So the kids are looking at it and they're going to see it. If they're over 11, they probably have already, like you said. So how do we demystify that with the parent-to-parent relationship? Because sometimes the best feedback or the best help you're going to get is from other supportive parents who kind of have been there, done that. How do you empower a parent to say, listen, this is happening.
Yeah.
Go talk to a parent.
Well, you do it through, I mean, the only way I can see is you do it through authenticity and you need a parent who stands up and says, here's what's going on. You guys can help lead that as in teaching it by saying, my assumption is that most of your kids have seen porn.
Yeah.
And so if you've, you know, had the privilege to have caught them, then actually that may be a good thing because the other kids, you know, could possibly be doing it. I mean, some aren't. But then we try to help them understand that when they've caught their kids doing this, it goes back to what I've been saying, I'm trying to pound in from the beginning, is that's the sign that says, teach them healthy sexuality. It's not this that's, you know, really not God's standard. It's this. And so, again, it gives you that opportunity to guide them through what can be, you know, really, really positive. One of the things that you want to do as a parent is have other parents around you who can maybe give you some ideas, because maybe, you know, another parent said, you know what, that happened to my in my situation with my son or with my daughter. And so we put some boundaries on our phone. I mean, we actually, you know, where our kids can't, you know, they can't have Wi-Fi in their bedroom or whatever it might be. But others might say, you know, we found a site called XXXchurch.com, which, by the way, is a great site. Mm-hmm. And it's an accountability deal. So, like, for example, I'm on XXX Church. So I have 3 accountability partners. So if I was going to see pornography, they would immediately get an email saying I'd seen pornography. And so, you know, I think that helps kids like crazy, because you don't want to, you don't want your parents to know. So if your parents go on XXX Church, and you can, it's a software that's free.
Yeah, we'll put the link in the show notes, so don't swerve driving trying to look it up on your
phone. Right, exactly. The other one that parents might want to look at is called Covenant Eyes. It costs a little bit of money, but it's really an awesome site. They have the same kind of thing, accountability. So what I'm saying with parents is, it's kind of a twofold answer to a one-fold question probably, but I think it's important that you learn what other parents have done and how they've done it well. Some parents obviously don't. You learn from that too.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you know, begin the process of helping your kids have accountability even before, you know, this is called prevention. Talk about it. Prevention. You got to talk about it. Medical stuff. You talk about certain things before they would, you know, they would get it. So you talk about this, and then also put prevention tools. So, you know, what are the filters that you're going to put on your iPhone? What are the filters you're going to put on your computer and stuff in your home? But then you guys need those same filters. Not that that may even be as much of a temptation, but then they see, you know, children see children do. So if they see you in accountability relationships and all that, then they're going to do it.
So, you know, my wife.
Yes.
She has all my passwords. She can see everything. That we have a very open deal about that. That works for us really, really well. My kids, right? One day I'm going to sit there and have this kind of conversation with them. Now, I've looked at porn before, and it actually was an issue for me when I was younger, and it was a serious issue for like a big chunk of time, and it was, the whole thing was really rough, and there were great men in my life who helped me through that. Right. So when I'm sitting there and talking to Beckett, you know, in Canon one day, how much do you share? And we talked a little bit about that in like a previous week about vulnerability. But, you know, would you as a parent say, listen, I've done this? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, how do you go about, because when I think of the parent, maybe it's hard, and I don't have kids that are older yet, but it's hard to admit, like, I've messed up big too sometimes. But, you know, how much do you share? What's the boundary there?
Well, everybody has a different opinion on that. I tend to go with share, but don't share with, you know, every detail. So take the details out and share the passion that you have. You know, your kids aren't going to respect you less. I mean, they actually will respect you more. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of what we call a testimony. So let's take the Christian world. Somebody goes, you know, I didn't used to be a Christian and today I'm a Christian, etc. Well, I made some poor choices in fill in the blank, let's say pornography. But today here's how I overcame that. So what you're doing is you're inspiring your kids. You know, now, will your kids hold you to this? Maybe so. I mean, it's funny that I'm saying this on the podcast on local and the, you know, a lot of the people who hear this, you know, go to the same, you know, church group that we go to in Mariners.
Yeah.
But my wife, who is like, you know, a saint, teaches Bible study on Tuesdays. And, you know, when she told me before we got married that she had actually tried pot in ninth grade, I laughed hilariously because I thought she was kidding me because this is not Kathy. And this is somebody who, you know, just never dawned on me. So we got to an age with our kids and they said, Mom, did you ever smoke pot? And she had never told them. And she goes, well, you know, when I was in ninth grade, well, they started busting up laughing, first of all, going, Dad, did you ever? And I didn't. So they're like, guy, you seem to be the guy who would smoke pot, not Mom. But then at another age, they said, they got, one of them had gotten in trouble, not for smoking pot, but something, you know, bad. And they go, well, Mom smoked pot. And I'm like, oh my gosh.
Here we go.
But you know what? I said, well, yeah, and if she would say to you today that was not a smart decision, just like what you're going to say to me one day, that what you just did was not a smart decision. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they sometimes, you know, what I'm afraid is some parents will not never tell you, say it because they're afraid they're going to throw it in your face. Well, as they get a certain age, they may.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be, you nailed my number one fear.
Yeah.
That they would throw it at my face. We'd be in the middle of an argument and they'd pull up something that I said to them, yeah, like in vulnerability during a serious intimate conversation with, yeah, my kid. And then they would just nonchalantly throw it out there.
Yeah. And say, and I'm telling you that's why I'm passionate about it in, mm-hmm, my vulnerability. I'm sad for that because I have a scar. That doesn't mean that my life is over and I'm so grateful for God's grace and I'm so grateful that, you know, Mom and I have a great relationship and, you know, on and on. But yeah, you know what? I have a scar. Do I have regrets? I mean, Christ has forgiven me at the same time. You know, that's a regret for me. There is some baggage that, you know, is in my head that I don't want you to have. Mm-hmm. Boom, you're done.
Yeah, I love what you just said there because you're reaffirming the passion that you have.
Yeah.
And saying, hey, this is what has come out of it, and yeah, this is what I'm passionate about because of it.
Exactly. And so again, we have passion sometimes because we made poor choices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, one of the reasons why I'm passionate about my relationship with God is because there was a time when I didn't have a relationship with God. So I'm passionate about it, and I want everybody around me to have that same kind of relationship because it changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's the same with when we talk about these things. And yet with parents, we think that's different. We can give a testimony about our faith as if that's cool, but we can't give a testimony about, you know, making poor choices at a certain age. What is that about?
Mm. So weird.
That's so good.
This is so good. We talked about XXX Church. That's in there. Got another book or something.
Covenant Eyes.
Covenant Eyes.
Yeah. For this one, I'd say those are really good resources. Today, there's also some good, you know, there's a lot of other stuff on pornography. What if I was going to go online and look at either books or at, you know, resources? And by the time kids are dealing with pornography, there's some actually good internet resources.
Yeah.
But I would probably just write Christian purity material or Christian help for pornography, and you'll find all kinds of really, really good things.
There's going to be at least one parent who's like me who remembers at the very beginning you said you're writing a book right now with brain stuff, and some parents probably thinking, well, when's that book coming out? when is that coming out?
Understanding Your Teen comes out, I think, by the end of October.
17?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
oh,
17.
God. This is just so great. Yeah.
Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, so
and we actually are talking about in that, you know, we have a chapter on purity and whatnot, because again, we were never their age. We were 6, 11, 12, 16, 17. We were never their age because as parents, we didn't experience what they're experiencing so young.
You guys have a bookstore at Mariners Mission Viejo, right?
Yeah, we used to. I haven't seen it around for
really?
A while.
Really? Well, we got one at Irvine.
Yeah.
When this book comes out, we got to make sure we get a bunch of copies
cool.
of it.
Cool. We'll do it.
It'll be wonderful. Get it there. And parents will love it. Hey. Good.
You can sign it for me. Just sign your name. Because that'll make.
Did someone tell you?
That'll make book sales.
Did
really
someone
big.
Set you up with that comment?
Yeah, no. That'll
because
make.
I do that sometimes.
Do you?
I go into the bookstore, I take a Sharpie, and I actually do that.
Oh
sign
my gosh.
Your name on the books?
No, I sign. Yeah, I to be hilarious.
That's hilarious. That is funny.
That's part of working at a church.
I want one of those books that you signed.
Kristen, this was rad.
I know. It was awesome.
Rad?
We are learning so much from you, Jim.
So
we're
good,
so
Jim.
Excited.
And it's rad?
We have
rad
one.
Is like I use the word rad. I'm old. What's up?
Rad's a great word.
You want to talk about being old for a second? All right. I had life group yesterday.
Yeah.
All right. This is old. And they're asking me, okay, you know, junior high kids are the best, right? They asked me, like, what apps did you, and we're looking at their apps there. What apps did you use when you were in, you know, our age? I'm like, well, we didn't
have any apps.
We didn't have cell phones when I was your age. Like, they didn't, like, it didn't exist, I don't think. Like, I remember my first phone when I was 11, there were no phones. I remember the first phone I got, I was a freshman or sophomore.
Yeah, I was 16.
Yeah,
it was
a prepaid
flip phone.
Nokia phone. So I was like, we didn't have phones. And he looked at me straight in the face. How old are you? And that made me feel terrible. But then I bottle flipped a big jug of water on like three stacked tables, like those IKEA tables.
It was pretty epic.
And
I saw it on
high
Instagram.
In the air. And when I nailed that, then I was just worshipped as a king by the junior high boys. They carried me off into the sunset.
Simple pleasures.
Seriously. Hey, thanks for checking out TardyCast, for being here this week. Remember,
don't be late to leadership.
Don't be late. It's so easy. And this is a great episode. Share this with a friend and maybe go on and leave some comments about it. It'd be great.
Awesome.
iTunes.
Yep. Cool? We'll see you for next week.
Later, parents.